Don't forget, if you didn't pass your papers, everybody got your papers in? Good. Before I dismiss the children, I want to let everybody know that tonight, I meant to tell you this a while ago and I forgot, but tonight here at Dolan Baptist Church, 6 o'clock, we will be having church like we normally do, but tonight we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So we'll be having communion tonight as part of our worship service. So if you, maybe you don't regularly attend on Sunday night, but let me encourage you that this, you know, we do this about once a quarter. And so it's a special time, and it's a special time for reflection, for us to really examine ourselves as Scripture commands us to do before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And always it seems like the worship time, the songs have a little sweeter sound to them from my heart during the time of communion. So you know what communion really means? Communion doesn't mean sit down and take the Lord's Supper. Communion means to sit down face to face and commune with someone. And that's the purpose. That's the reason for communion. We recognize that we are face to face with the living Lord, Jesus Christ, and we can commune with Him. We can communicate. We can be there, have a close relationship. You know, God is not just some big old white-headed bearded guy on a fluffy cloud. Did y'all hear me? So, two of you believe that. Two of you believe that He's not that. God Almighty is indescribable. Now we can try, and songwriters have tried, and poets have tried, and some of them have done a great job, but oh, even that falls incredibly short of who God is. The truth is that God is a living, breathing person residing in the heart and the spirit of every believer. And there is power in that. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we need to recognize that. We need to come and consider it a great privilege to commune with our Lord and our Savior. So tonight, here I am preaching tonight already, but tonight we'll be having the Lord's Supper. So be prepared, 6 o'clock, be prepared for that. I will go ahead and let our children go if they're going to be headed to Children's Church. You may be dismissed at this time. And if you're staying here, go ahead and find your Bibles. If you don't have one, there should be one in the rack of the chair in front of you there. And haven't said this in a couple weeks. So if you don't own a Bible, if you don't own a copy of words of God's Word and would like one, I'd like nothing more than to put one in your hands. Okay? So you see me right after church if you need a Bible, and I will be glad to put one in your hands. I think that's one of the most valuable gifts anybody could ever get physically, apart from the great gift that Jesus Christ is offering you, the gift of salvation. And you will find that gift wrapped up in God's Word. So I've been talking to you about getting your Bibles. Get them and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This week, our study is, we've got one more week after this to wrap up this little segment of our time. This week is, I'm a church member, and I will lead my family to be healthy church members. Okay? And so we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to look at a scripture passage here that talks about family relationships. And you know, a lot of preachers kind of get shy when it comes to this part because there's some things in here that some people don't like. Okay? But it's the Word of God. And if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Him because He's the one that said it, folks. Amen. All right? But I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear this. This is not some demeaning, it's not some controlling passage of Scripture that is often used in such a manner. This is describing a love relationship. Okay? So let's read this. It says, in verse 22 of chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church." And you know, and I'm going to pause here just for a little bit of commentary real quick, because here's the deal, guys. If you will love your wife like Christ loved the church, she will have no problem submitting to everything that you want, because you're going to be loving her as Christ loved the church. You think that that's easy? That is a huge challenge, to love your spouse as Christ loves the church. How much love is that? Oh, folks, guys, if you will love your wives like that, Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Now, I'm just going to stop there, pause real quick, because, you know, in this passage, we hear a little bit, wives, submit to your husbands, okay? And that's often what is taught and preached. Well, the scripture says you got to submit to me, rah, 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 right? Well, it does say that, okay? But the bulk of that passage is to you guys and to me, guy. The bulk of that passage is telling us how we're supposed to love our wives. And how are we supposed to do that? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. And then it says here, all this stuff. It says, this is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. You see, to explain to us Christ and the church and the relationship between Christ and the church, he used something that's very familiar to us, family relationships. Okay? And he says, this is something, let me tell you something about what you understand. You understand family relationships. And the ideal of that is how, is what I want you to understand. He said, and it's a profound mystery. You still don't even understand it. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. And he closes it. He says, however, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay? He said, now don't forget all that stuff. I'm not just saying that that's just about church. He said, you also need to remember, you do need to love your wives, and wives, you need to love your husbands. But I'm talking about the church. Loving the church as the bride of Christ does not mean that we have to ignore problematic issues or challenges that arise within the church. Did you know that sometimes there are issues within the church? Did you know that? Did you know that sometimes there are people who get frustrated within the church? Did you know that sometimes people get upset or angry within the church? Did you know that sometimes programs don't fulfill their function and people get hurt by the church? Did you know that? I'm not saying we need to ignore that, but I'm saying that through all of that, we've got to love the church. Loving the church means to believe in the mission of the church so much that you're willing to engage in helping the church accomplish that mission. A lot of times it's told that you need to be proactive instead of reactive, right? Be part of the solution, not part of the problem, right? That's true. We got to do that. We've got to be part of the solution. We have to help engage and help the church accomplish the mission. Doing so requires a love that without Jesus you don't possess. Did you hear that? Without Jesus, you do not possess the love required to love the church. You don't possess the love required to love one another through thick and thin. It's the love of Christ that compels us, folks. Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself up for it. Do you love the church that much? I'm not talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about the carpet and the chairs and the stage and the lights and the screens and the buildings. And I'm not talking about that, folks. I'm talking about the body of Christ, one another, the mission, the goal of the church. Do you love that so much that you'd be willing to give yourself for that mission to be accomplished? Christ did. He believed in the church that much. If we learn to love the church because Jesus loves the church, then we can learn to overlook the faults, the inconsistencies, and the failures of the church. Let me tell you something, folks. This church is not a perfect church. And I'm afraid that until Christ comes and returns, I'm afraid we're going to struggle to be a perfect church. But we ought to struggle towards that end. We ought to struggle for that. We ought to fight for it. We ought to give whatever it takes to move towards that goal. And when I say overlook, I don't mean that we turn a blind eye and pretend that problems don't exist. I'm saying that our unconditional love for the bride of Christ should compel us to be willing to be a part of making it better. Not just griping about how bad it is. It means we don't give up when we're disappointed, but that we do our part to seek to remove that obstacle for the next person or the next generation even. It means we love the church because Christ loved the church. The church is the plan for reaching the lost. It's not plan A, and there's a backup. It's not plan B. It's not plan C or 3 or 4. It's not somewhere on the list of God's plan. Folks, the church is God's plan, period. We're it. God put all of his eggs in one basket. He said, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock, I will build whose church? His church. He will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Folks, that indicates power. That indicates might. That indicates a force to be reckoned with. And I will tell you that there is no force that can reckon with the power of the church when the church is on mission and on target and on goal for God. I believe that. It's just so seldom that we see it. We are God's only plan for saving the world. This begins at home. We talked about, this is our title. Family. I will raise, I will teach my family to be healthy church members. So if you'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, we're going to read a passage that may be familiar to you. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land and that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." He said, teach this stuff at home. Learn the scripture at home. That's where it begins. Start at home. And you know, it even went further. He said, bind it. Write it on your hearts. Write it on everything. You can put it on your hand as a reminder. Put it on your forehead. They have these little, I think it's called a phylactery. Is that right? Little box that they would write scripture real small. And they would fold it up and put it in a little bitty box. And they would write it. And they actually wore it on their foreheads. And still today, if over in Jerusalem and in Israel, you can actually still see some people walking around with these things, these boxes on their foreheads, and look kind of strange. But they took it very literal, okay. But what the Word of God is saying is, you need to instill this and drill this so much that no matter where they turn, where they look, the Word of God is within them and on them and upon them, and the power that exists through the Word of God also resides. And folks, we're not exempt from that command. You may not be Hebrew. You may not be an Israelite. But folks, you're a child of God. God has spoken. He has given his word. You need to know it. You need to know it. You need to teach it. You need to make sure that the ones you love know it. Because it's how we live. Did you know that the Christian church did not even meet in a building until the Roman Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity sometime after 313, I believe, A.D.? They didn't meet in a church. And in the old times, they didn't meet in a church. I mean, there was a tabernacle that they had, and then later there were temples. But that's not where people met for worship. They worshiped at home. And when Constantine became a Christian, there was a big public meeting building. It was called the Basilica. When he became a Christian, he said, you know what? Let's let them gather publicly now, because before they couldn't gather publicly because they'd be killed. He said, no, let's let Christians gather publicly and we'll let them use the public building, the Basilica. Well, now we know a Basilica is a... especially the Roman Catholic world, the Basilica is the church. It's the big church building, and often great big and fancy and a lot of gold and all that kind of stuff. But the Basilica, before that time when the New Testament was even written, the church was held at home with a family or a group of families. Back then, church began at home. Folks, church still begins at home. Otherwise, if it doesn't begin at home, otherwise church is an event or a function that we attend instead of an integral part of the Christian's life. Church becomes something we do instead of something we are. It becomes an institution instead of an inspiration that so many desperately need. It becomes a part of my life, instead of a lifestyle that governs all areas of my life. You see what I mean? Sometimes we are good church people and we do what we're supposed to do and it's a part of our life, but we haven't let it affect every part of our life. It's not an integral part of who we are. Church becomes something that doesn't really matter instead of the only thing that matters. And I'm not just talking about church attendance, folks. I'm just talking about the relationship with Christ. Because if you have a relationship with Christ and you love him, then you love what he loves. And what does he love? He loves the church so much that he gave himself up for it. This kind of church that I described, this activity-oriented, this functioning church that just kind of we're here on Sunday or we just do this, it's part of our routine and whatnot. That's not the church that Christ had in mind, folks. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it begins at home. I was watching a preacher the other day that he mentioned the fact that some families even wake up on Sunday morning, and they have this little meeting to determine whether or not they're going to go to church. And a lot of times, he said, you know, sometimes they'll say, they'll ask the teenager or the preteen or maybe even the child, do y'all want to go to church today? You want to go to church today? And the kids get to say, well, maybe, no, I don't want to go to church today. And so they're letting the kids rule the roost, folks. They're not leading. They're being led by the kids. Let me encourage you that as the leader of your family, it's not up to your teenager. It's not up to your preteen. It's not up to your child whether or not you go to church. You're the leader. You lead. Take them to church. Now I recognize that you are here this morning. And so I may not be talking directly to you today because you're here. You did lead this morning. You got up. You got your crew ready, those that were well, and brought them to church. But there's someone listening, and this sermon is going to be on the internet, so there's somebody that's going to be listening to this sermon because they didn't make it to church. And if that's you, I want you to know that God expects you to lead your family. God expects you to be in the house. He tells us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Get to church. Be in church. Grow. Learn. You know, they say that Proverbs 27:17, that's our youth group's motto, as iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of one man sharpens another. But until the iron makes contact with other iron, nothing happens. It gets rusty. And you've got to engage with other believers to sharpen yourself against them. I want you to know that your family depends on you to lead, and the church depends on you to lead, and the effectiveness of the church and its mission depends upon whether or not you will lead. Don't tuck tail and run because the church let you down. Quite possibly every one of us could say, well, the church failed me in some area. And they probably did. Guess what? It probably will again. Don't tuck tail and run. Don't get your feelings all hurt and say, well, that's just not worth it anymore. Show your resolve to your family by teaching to persevere through adversity because the cause is worthy. Teach your kids to become involved. If you don't, the next generation is in sad, sad shape. You know, a lot of folks are they'll be in church and maybe they won't be leading their family to be healthy church members, and then they're surprised one day when their kids grow up and they go off and they're getting into all kinds of stuff, and they begin to have families of their own, and their families, you know, they're splitting up, they're doing all kinds of stuff, getting into and having relationship issues and all that, and they're surprised. Well, why did that happen? I'm not saying, you know, the statistics show that 50% of Americans are getting divorced. That rate is not different from inside the church to outside the church, folks. It's the same. So I'm not saying that by bringing your kids to church is going to solve all their problems. They're going to learn to be perfect kids. That's not going to happen. But I believe you stand a better chance of helping them be successful when you teach them, when you bring them to church, when you have church at home, when you live church, not just do church. Get them involved. Researchers show that kids who are involved in church have a high likelihood of becoming involved adults. Teach them to serve. We talked about a new children's church program that we're going to be starting. And we need youth, and we need adults to serve. We specifically need some youth involved to help with the puppet ministry that's going to be a part of that program. We need some adults, we need some youth, we need some involvement in that. We need to build 3 teams, 4 people on a team, we need 12 people. 12 people to help pull off our children's program. It's your opportunity to lead. Now, maybe you're single. Or maybe your spouse has passed away and you no longer have a spouse here. Maybe you no longer have children at home to lead. Or maybe your spouse is not a Christian and doesn't come to church with you. Maybe you have grown children. Maybe you have grandchildren or neighbor's children or nieces or nephews. You may not even have a family of your own yet. Determine now that you will search out a spouse that believes in the mission of the church and is on board with playing a part in fulfilling that mission. No matter what your circumstances are in your household, no matter what they are, folks, you still have a responsibility to show others the love of Christ. And one way we do that is living a lifestyle that is visible, evident, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, God empowered the church. He empowered the church to be an unstoppable force against the gates of hell. It's about time we believe it. It's about time we believe it so much that we acted as if Scripture were true. How many of you believe God's Word is true? Amen. I believe it too. I also believe it's time we start acting like we believe it. And we start standing upon it, standing on the promises of God, standing upon the challenges of God, and acting as if we believe it. You know, I could believe I can fly off the top of this building all day long. But you're not going to see, I could tell you that all day long, but you're not going to see me jump up there, climb up there and jump off of it, right? Because that would really put action to my faith. I don't have that much faith that I can fly. I do have faith that God's Word is true. I do have faith that God's Word is powerful. I do have faith that God's Word is so powerful and effective that it has the power to change lives. And I will act upon that. It's about time for the church to rise up and fulfill its mission. But that mission begins at home. Will you join up? Will you commit to lead your family to be healthy church members? We have to think outside ourselves. Because eternity is at stake for millions, folks. Will you do your part? Will you do your part for those people around the world? Will you do your part for our people in Texas, our missions goal? Will you do your part to help people in Texas experience the saving power of Jesus Christ? Will you do your part at home? Teach your children. Live it in front of your spouse. Teach your grandkids. Teach your nieces, your nephews. Maybe some of you need to teach your parents. It's not how it's supposed to be, but maybe that's the way it is. Maybe you need to get involved and teach other people's kids how to love Jesus because He first loved us. You know, the thing is that Christ died for us. When? While we were yet sinners. God didn't say, fix yourself up, get yourself straight. When you get good and organized and you get on fire and you get right, then I will save you. Reverse it. He said, I've saved you. I will save you if you'll trust in me. And then I'm going to help you get fixed up. I'm going to help you get on fire. I'm going to fill you up. That's the power of the church. And when we come together as believers who are filled and empowered, folks, the Scripture tells us the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Are you willing to act upon that belief? Used a catchphrase here a while back. Can't even remember how it goes. It was so good. You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe on that which you're willing to act upon. Where are you in that trek? Are you willing to act upon it? That's true belief. That's true belief. Folks, we're challenged. We're encouraged to lead our families, to be involved in church. To take church home. It's where it began. It's where it began. And it's where it needs to be today. It needs to begin at home. Don't come to church to get fed. You get fed at home. Come to church to rejoice and to commune with other believers and to glorify God. Why? Because Christ loves the church. He loves the church. Do you love the church? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we need to love the church. That's our challenge for this week. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. The devotion is not to the establishment. The devotion that we're trying to learn is not to the organization, not to the structure of the building, folks. Love the church, the body of Christ, because Christ loves the church. So much He gave Himself up for it. It's His plan. It's how the world is going to be changed and affected. Does anybody agree that the world needs to be changed and affected? Look at the news. It starts at home. It starts at home. That's my challenge to you. I don't believe that's just my challenge. I believe that's the challenge from the Word of God. Church begins at home. What do you do about it? And then come together. As bodies, as believers, we come together and we make a stronger force united. That's our goal. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our command. Are we going to follow it or not? Maybe you're here today and you're kind of thinking, well, he's sure been talking a lot about the church and the problems that they're having, and I don't know if I want to be part of that church or not. That's not the case, okay? That's not the case. This is a good church. Oh, but it wants to be so much better. God wants His church to be so much better. And He's given us the power and the resources to make that happen if we'll only tap into it and get on mission. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling guilty. You're thinking, well, you know what? My spouse called Brother Mike and he told him about what goes on in our household. Nobody's spouse called me and told me about what's going on in your household. But maybe you need to decide and determine this morning, you know what? I am going to be what God's called me to be. I am going to lead my family. I am going to lead my family to be healthy church members, yes, but I'm going to lead my family to love Christ. And the truth is, if you love Christ, you will love the body. If you love Christ, you will love the body. Maybe this morning you don't know Christ. Maybe you've heard all about Him. And that little phrase I used a while ago, you don't believe what you say you believe, you only believe that which you're willing to act upon. And maybe you've never acted upon that belief. Maybe you've never publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe that's the day, today's the day when you say, you know what? How can I lead if I'm not even a follower? So maybe you need to come today. Let me talk with you, pray with you, show you where Scripture calls us to believe in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no other way to the Father except through Him. The Spirit is in the house today, folks. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. It says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. And we are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name, the only name by which men must be saved. So He's here. And if He's in the room, I know He's been speaking to you. What is He saying? And what are you willing to do about it? This is going to be our time. We're going to have a song play. We're going to sing. We're going to stand. Go ahead and stand, if you would. As a song plays and we sing, I will be standing down here in the front. Rebecca will be standing here with me if you'd like to come and speak to one of us or both of us or have prayer. That's why we're here. The altar is always open. You come and you take care of business. You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe that which you're willing to act upon. Let me challenge you. Act upon something today. What is He telling you to do? Father, help us. Help us to love You more. Help us to love You better. Help us to love You fully and completely. Father, help us to be bold and brave and help us to do what You've called us to do and to be who You've called us to be. Father, help us to be willing to make that commitment here in this place today. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.